Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, August 17th, 2017. We'll start with a story titled Chorus Rehearsals Start Next Week, written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. And there's a picture. It says, rehearsals will start next week for Vermilion County Festival Chorus. The first rehearsal will be from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Monday at St. James United Methodist Church at 504 North Vermilion Street. The rehearsals will be for the November concert, which will be at 2 p.m. on November 19th, also at the church. Rehearsals will start next week for the Vermilion County Festival Chorus. The first rehearsal will be from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Monday at St. James United Methodist Church, 504 North Vermilion Street. The rehearsals will be for the November concert, which will be at 2 p.m. on November 19th, also at the church. The theme for the November concert is From Bird to Rudder, said director David Schroeder. The theme refers to composers Williams Bird and John Rudder. Schroeder said featured selections will include the Mass for Four Voices by Bird, Fantasia on Christmas Carols, and a couple selections by Rudder will round out the program. The chorus is open to anyone that enjoys singing choral literature, Schroeder said. We don't do auditions. He said they do ask that anybody wanting to come to sing with them come early to be the first rehearsal to get set up with a music package. The cost is $20 for the music rental, which is payable at the first rehearsal. It's going to be a wonderful program to lead into the holiday season, Schroeder said. Schroeder also reminds students who would like to sing with the group, Vermilion Festival Chorus is offered as a credit through Danville Area Community College. According to DACC information, students may earn 1 hour of humanities credit per semester by enrolling in MUSI 150. Up to 4 credit hours may be earned. For more information, contact the Liberal Arts Division at 443-8724. Schroeder said they invite anyone who likes to sing and is a student at DACC. We have a couple signed up already, Schroeder said. We'd always like to get more. He added they also like to encourage high school students to join. He said they are trying to get that set up where high school students, too, potentially receive credit. For more information, contact Schroeder at 597-1955. Okay, next story is titled Hoopston Council OKs Development, and this is written by Carol Hicks in Hoopston. City Council members opened a bid proposal Tuesday from the Hoopston Retirement Village Foundation for a development project this next year. Council members voted unanimously to accept the initial proposal. The project, according to Harry Brockus, Hoopston Economic Development, will be a land swap with First Farmers Bank and Trust to obtain the present corner facility on Illinois Route 1 and 9 for a proposed restaurant and retail center. It also will include some land with Lee Cox west of the facility. Bacchus added that the facility on Routes 1 and 9 will be torn down to make way for the new buildings. The new food facility and center will provide 20 to 30 temporary jobs during the construction process, said Brockus, and 30 to 40 new full-time and part-time jobs when the project is completed. It will bring in about $100,000 annually a year with $20,000 in additional property tax to the city. First Farmers Bank and Trust is combining both facilities, the main bank on Bank Street and drive-up banks on Route 1 and 9, and into a larger facility south of the present drive-up banking facility. David L. Eikenberry, CEO of First Farmers Bank and Trust of Converse Industry, said they will build a new location to meet our customers' needs. Additionally, Brockus added that plans have been completed for the new hotel, restaurant, and other retail businesses soon to be located on Route 9 west of Marathon. In other business, council members agreed to amend the ordinance for part-time officers recommended by Illinois State to be on compliance with the Illinois State law. The three items amended was to the corporate authorities of the City of Hoopston in the first paragraph and under the hiring standards. Article 3 now reads pass a medical examination, and Article 6 reads possess no prior felony convictions. They also noted the second annual 911 memorial walk by the Hoopston Fire Department will take place on September 9th at Honeywell School. They also learned the Hoopston JCs requested use of McFerrin Park for the yearly Sweet Corn Festival for August 31st through September 4th. The festival will give away 26 tons of free, hot, buttered sweet corn during the festival. Brad Hardcastle added there also will be a respite area on the north side of the Civic Center for sitting to eat or for elderly to rest. They also heard Joel Bird announce the Vermilion County Board will hold a Mark Drollinger Day for Vermilion County on September 2nd, and the next Hoopston Council meeting will begin at 7 p.m. on September 5th in the City Hall at 301 West Main Street. Okay, next is D-118 looks at budget funding, written by Carol Roem in Danville. The Danville District 118 School Board Wednesday reviewed a proposed spending plan for the district for the 2017-18 school year. The board also approved placing the tentative budget on public display for 30 days. The tentative budget shows $70.36 million in revenue, which is about $4.2 million less in revenue than the year before, and projects $73.09 million in expenditures for the year, which is about $1.47 million less than last year. The proposed budget shows a beginning fund balance of $29.9 million and an ending fund balance of $22.58 million after $4.68 million in construction projects and improvements made to school buildings throughout the district have been paid in full. Business Director Heather Smith said the budget numbers were only preliminary and could change during the next 30 days while the spending plan is on public display. Revenue and expenses are still coming in through September, she told the board, adding that those numbers could change the district's beginning balances for the 2017-18 budget. We are still unsure about revenue, Smith said. We did just receive last year's third categorical payment out of four, but we have not yet received one general state aid payment for this year at this time. The state aid will probably be on hold until the House makes a decision, she said, referring to the possible override of Governor Rauner's amendatory veto of a school funding plan for the state. The district also is still waiting to receive $1.7 million from the state that was due last school year, in addition to money the district should have received from the state for the new school year, according to Smith. We usually get two state aid payments for the current year in August, but to date we have not received anything, she said. We have been told we may not see anything from the state this month. Without any state funding, the district has enough cash on hand to last 149 days of school, except it first has to pay some large bills from summer construction projects, leaving the district with only 90 days of cash revenues. Also on Wednesday, the board heard about a partnership the district has entered into with Crosspoint Human Services to expand mental health services to District 118 students who have needs. The district will provide transportation for 20 Danville High School and Kenneth D. Bailey Academy students to receive counseling at a centralized location within the district. Students will not go to Crosspoint for the services because school officials believe some parents and students might have transportation issues reaching Crosspoint's location on U.S. Route 150. The district hopes to expand the counseling services to other students in the district. Board member Lon Henderson praised the effort, saying this is a major step forward to have access to these services on site. They also approved restructuring the extracurricular salary schedule. The district and the Danville Education Association collaborated to determine fair stipends for staff who led an extracurricular activity and the expectations for each extracurricular activity. They also awarded a contract for $166,544 to Marco American Insurance Company for property and casualty insurance. They also awarded a contract for $265,000 to Prairie Farms to supply all the milk, sour cream, and cottage cheese district-wide. They also awarded a contract for $80,000 to Vermilion Valley Produce of Danville to supply all the produce for the district. They also approved salary increases averaging 25 cents an hour for 10 kitchen managers and two area supervisors who are not covered by collective bargaining, and they also awarded a contract for $46,445 to Midland Paper of Wheeling to supply all the copy paper in the district. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Robert Butch H. Porter, Jr., 71, of Danville, was born January 2, 1946, the son of Robert Sr. and Evelyn Porter. A visitation will be at 10 a.m. noon Saturday, August 19th, at Sunset's Oakwood Chapel, 105 East South Main Street in Oakwood. Service will be at noon Saturday at the funeral home. Private burial at Oakridge Cemetery in Catlin. I'm sorry, I should mention Butch drowned capsizing a small boat on August 9th on the pond on his property. Rex E. Odell, 85, of Danville, passed away August 16th at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. A celebration of Rex's life will take place at 1 p.m. on Saturday, August 19th, at St. James United Methodist Church, 504 North Vermilion in Danville, with Pastor Justin Snyder officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, August 18th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Entombment will take place at Sunset Swan Court Chapel and Mausoleum. Memorials can be made in Rex's memory to St. James United Methodist Church. Charles B. Simison, 89, of Bringhurst, Indiana, formerly of Danville, passed away August 14, 2017. A celebration of Charles's life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 19th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with Pastor Justin Snyder officiating. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday at the funeral home. Burial will take place at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorials can be made in his name to the church of your choice. Bruce Woodrow Oliver passed away at 6:12 a.m. Monday, August 14th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A visitation for Bruce will be from 1 to 3 p.m. on Thursday, August 17th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, with the family and friends sharing time at 3 p.m. Dan Shahan, 76, of Fairmount, passed away at 4:04 p.m. on Friday, August 11th, at Champaign-Urbana Health and Rehab in Savoy. Memorial services at 11 a.m. on Saturday, August 19th, at Robeson Chapel in Kaplan. Chris Lawler will officiate. Visitation is from 10 a.m. until services Saturday at the chapel. Memorials in his name to the American Diabetes Association. Okay, the next story is titled A Renewed Vision. Church celebrates 100th, looks ahead. This is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville, and there is a picture of longtime members Don Nee, Eileen Tulp Smith, and Mary House discuss the church's history in the sanctuary at Christway Church. The congregation will celebrate the church's centennial August 26th and 27th. A vision that began 100 years ago continues at the newly named Christway Church, formerly named Danville United Church of Christ. The message is the same, but it's produced in a different package, said Pastor Doug Knapp, who's also associate pastor at Life Church. This is a great church. A lot of people put time and effort into it 100 years ago. The vision continues. In celebration of its centennial, the non-denominational church at Buchanan and Main Streets will have a concert on August 26th and a special service on August 27th, followed by a meal. Knapp said he was asked to help the church about a year ago when the pastor left. Membership was in the high teens, he said, and now they average about 40. The church was nearly ready to close, but it's getting its second wind. It's an awesome thing, Knapp said. People are rejuvenating it. There's a renewed vision for our city and community. The congregation was formed in July of 1884 at the German Evangelical Lutheran United St. John's Church. In November of 1916, St. John's Evangelical Church dedicated the current church building and a parsonage now used as a church meeting room reception area. In 1966, the Danville United Church of Christ was formed. Some members of the community still refer to the building as St. John's. The church underwent the Christway name change in 2016. A big family. Several longtime members sum up why they like being part of Christway. It's home. It will always be home to me, said Linda Stanton, 70, a member all of her life. It's the only church I want to go to. Stanton and her husband, Richard, were married in the church, and all of the children grew up in the church. Everybody feels like family, she said. We welcome everyone who comes in. Judy Meharry, former secretary for 32 years, echoed that thought, saying it's like a family. Any of these people who come to my aid would come to my aid, said Eileen Tulp Smith, a member for more than 60 years. She likes to sit in the church with her memories, adding, it has so much beauty for me. Patricia Walters, a 50-year member, said, I tell people, if you come, you'll like us. We're friendly and have a lot in common with each other. Many of the longtime members say they were baptized as children. Many were married in its sanctuary, and their children became members. Don and Ann Nee were married in the church 59 years ago, and all their children and grandchildren were baptized there. Don's father was Sunday school superintendent for 25 years, and Don was baptized and confirmed here. There's not a prettier church in Danville, Don said. He has a lot of fond memories of growing up in the church. He never missed a Sunday school class and still has all of his attendance pins. Mary House, financial secretary for 5 years, was born into the church and always attended. I have no desire to move on, she said. She's been active in the Sunday school, choir, and church council. Linda Burbaum, a member for 63 years, recalled that the choir was outstanding at one time and used to do concerts with other churches. The church is proud of its connection to the famous musical Gruber family. Otis Gruber, great-grandson of Franz Xaver Gruber, who composed the melody for Silent Night in 1818, lived in Danville until 1956 when he moved to Quincy. While in Danville, Gruber directed church choirs at First Baptist, First Presbyterian, and then at St. John's Evangelical and Reformed Church, now Christway. The younger Gruber composed sacred music that is part of a contemporary hymn books across the country. Every year, the church has candlelight Christmas Eve services where Silent Night is sung. The church also has an active women's fellowship, which is involved in several community activities. Among its projects are Wreaths Across America, collecting school supplies and coats for kids, and making its annual chicken and noodles meal, which many people in the community look forward to on the first Wednesday of November. In addition, the group works with the new Dayspring Women's and Children's Shelter and the Women's Care Clinic. Knapp is optimistic about the church's future, noting that masonry work is being done in the front and parts of the basement have been redone. When you're thinking about staying, you start working on it, Knapp said. He added, the church is being maintained and there are good people here. I'm happy to see everything is going the way it is. More people are coming to services and everyone is welcome, he said. Although the church has struggled in the past, Smith said, we won't give up. FYI, Christway Church at Main and Buchanan Streets will celebrate the 100th anniversary of being at that site with a concert and special services later this month. Kyra Sherbakova, a Christian singer-songwriter, will give a concert at 6 p.m. on Saturday, August 26th. A free will offering will be taken. Learn more about her and hear samples at kiraministry.com. A special service will be at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, August 27th, followed by a carry-in luncheon in the downstairs reception area. Everyone is invited. Okay, next from the Village of Catlin, water supplier seeks 47% rate hike in Catlin. Catlin officials recently learned that Aqua Illinois has filed for a water rate increase of 47% with the Illinois Commerce Commission. According to Mayor Butch Schmink, Aqua wants that the new rate to apply to the cost of wholesale water it sells to both Catlin and Westville. Both towns purchase water at wholesale price, then distribute it through village-owned water systems. Aqua has requested a 10% rate increase for water customers it serves directly. Schmink said the company filed for the rate increase on May 1st and expects a decision by April of 2018. Schmink said that the village had contacted State Representative Chad Hayes about the matter. He said Hayes advised the village to file an affidavit and letter of protest with the ICC. The village has also contacted its engineering firm, Fair Graham of Champaign, for assistance in drafting its proposed letter. Next, Danville arrest. Woman faces financial identity theft charges, written by Tracy Crane in Danville. A Tilton woman is accused of financial identity theft in an incident where more than $100,000 was stolen from a Danville assisted living facility. Danville police arrested Annette Crew, it's spelled C-R-U-E-A, 52, who listed an address in Tilton on Monday and she was charged in Vermilion County Circuit Court on Tuesday with one count of identity theft over $100,000 and theft over $100,000. If convicted of the former charge, a Class X felony, she faces a mandatory sentence of between 6 and 30 years in prison. If convicted of the latter charge, a Class 1 felony, she faces 4 to 15 years behind bars. According to court records, the thefts happened between January and December 31st of 2015. Danville Police Detectives looked into reports of forgery and theft at the assisted living facility, which police did not identify, and discovered that an employee was receiving payment through forged payroll accounts. In the investigation, Crew was identified as the individual responsible for the forged accounts, which were in excess of $120,000, according to Danville Police. No other employees or residents of the facility were victims of the scam, the police said. Crew's next court appearance is a preliminary hearing scheduled for August 31st. Okay, the next story is titled Angel Moms of Central Illinois, Breaking Silence. Group connects mothers who've lost a child. And this is written by Deborah Pressey in Danville. And there's a picture of Julia Wilson holding a picture of her son. Since her son's suicide last summer, Julia Wilson has been living with an enduring pain. Lose your parents and you're called an orphan. Lose your spouse and you're a widow or widower, she said. Lose your child and there's not even a word for what you've become. And it's something you never get over, Wilson said. The pain is always there. It doesn't go away. It's there. If there's not a word, there is at least a new support group for moms going through what she is. Wilson of Danville is the founder of Angel Moms of Central Illinois. It's open to any mom who lost a child of any age and by any circumstances, and it's providing both a closed, members-only Facebook page and monthly group meeting for mutual support, Wilson said. I want to extend a hand to other mothers that you don't have to suffer in silence, she said. We can walk this journey together. Her own 29-year-old son, Tyler Wilson, died in June of 2016 and was the oldest of three siblings in the family. He was a veteran who had served 4 years in the Marines and did three tours of combat during duty in Afghanistan, along with tours in Korea and Japan, Wilson said. Along the way, Tyler Wilson developed post-traumatic stress disorder and came home with it, his mom said. He underwent care for PTSD, some of it through the Veterans Affairs health system, but still suffered from night terrors, sleeplessness, and depression. And he didn't talk to his parents about that much either, Wilson said. He didn't want to worry me, she said. He suffered in silence. Still, she said, there were outward signs, pointing to the life, to life moving forward for her son. He had purchased a home and was working and going to school as an apprentice for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Union, and he had a wide network of friends, some of them very close. "We finally breathed a sigh of relief," Wilson recalled. Now, she said, she and her husband believe there were signs leading to up to their son's suicide that they missed. She also believes veterans, like her son, need a kind of reverse boot camp to help them readjust to civilian life after years of being taught to fight and kill. When they come home, they're not given the tools they need, she said. Angel Moms has about 50 members in its Facebook group, and other moms who want to join can connect on Facebook under Angel Moms of Central Illinois. There's also an in-person support group meeting on the first Thursday of each month from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Jocko's Pizza at 305 West William Street in Danville. Moms who want to join are also welcome to come to the meeting, Wilson said. There are mothers of all ages involved, including some with losses decades in the past, who are good mentors to others, she said. She chose the name Angel Moms for this group based on how she views her own son and all the other lost children, Wilson said. I feel that all these kids are angels, she said. Okay, well, we only have a few minutes, so I'm going to kind of run through the community briefs in a few of the communities. In Danville, audition set, Red Mask players plan auditions for the fall comedy All Because of Agatha at 7 p.m. on August 28th and August 29th. Auditions will be at Catherine Randolph Theater at 601 North Vermilion Street. There are roles for 4 men and 6 women. Performances are October 27th through the 29th and November 3rd through the 5th. A copy of the script is available at the Danville Public Library. For information, visit redmaskplayers.com. Band to Play, the Dixie Flyer Band with special guest Lonnie Hafner will play from 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday at Gale Grotto. Food is available from 5 p.m. All are welcome. And a family gathering, descendants of William and Hester Potter will meet for their 98th family reunion at 1 p.m. on Sunday at Shirley Hawkins Picnic Area. A basket dinner will be served. You can call 442-7464 if you want any more information. And in Georgetown, the Georgetown flags to be retired. The Georgetown American Legion will conduct a flag retirement ceremony at 1 p.m. on Sunday just north of the grandstand at the Georgetown Fairgrounds. The public is invited. Additional American or POW MIA flags will be accepted only from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. For information, call the Legion at 662-8211. And in Hoopston Public Library's cooking class, Cooking the Books, will celebrate Summer's Bounty when its members meet at 6 p.m. on August 24th at the library. Recipes will use the freshest of summer produce. Stop by the library to select a recipe from the special cookbook assortment. Prepare the dish and bring it to the meeting to share. Copies of recipes will be available. Drinks and table service is provided. And just a couple more today. The Lions Club in Danville meets at noon at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. The Danville Housing Authority is at 4 p.m. at Fair Oaks Administration Building. And Vermilion County Board Health and Education Committee at 515 at Courthouse Annex in room 319. So anyway, that'll be it for today. Thursday, August 17th, 2017. Hopefully everybody can see that eclipse. You got your eclipse glasses, so you can look at that eclipse on Monday, and hopefully the weather will cooperate with us so that we can see it okay. But anyway, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty unique thing to see. So I hope everybody has a great week, and I will hopefully see you again next week at the same time. Everybody take care. Bye.